Hey, thanks for calling the Rock Vault. And for dinner with Jeff Tate, what is your answer?
Spaghetti with meatballs.
Oh, yes, sir. With a little Parmesan cheese sprinkled on top there.
Absolutely. One of my favorites.
How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, Slip?
I'm doing great. And, you know, it's I can never answer the phone just like I'm supposed to, just with a hello. It's got to be something corny. But I think it fit kind of right on in there.
Yeah, it's great. We just ran with it.
Yeah, that's the way we do it.
How hot is it? How hot is it in San Antonio?
Well, today? You know, right now we're actually getting a cool front come through. It's like 95.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're nice. Finally. I think we're kind of finally out of the hundreds.
Yeah.
And fixing to because usually at this time of the year, mid September to late September, we have the Comal County Fair, which is right up the road, and there's always a little bit of rain, and the temperatures cool down always at the same time. So I'm really looking forward to that, but it's just been a long, dry summer.
Yeah.
How about where you're at?
Well, I've been, gosh, all kinds of places this summer. So I couldn't even give you an average because, well, I guess everywhere I went, it was pretty hot, you know, in the either high 70s or 90s, you know, in that range.
Jeez.
You know.
I would say it's just Texas weather, but it's kind of like that all the way around now, it seems.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was just in the UK a week and a half ago, and they were having extreme temperatures there, you know, in the 80s, which is like meltdown for that place, you know. they're not even prepared to handle anything like that, because I think if an enterprising guy would to take a container and fill it full of air conditioners, you know, and take it over there, he could sell those and retire a multimillionaire.
I know, but you know, the funny thing is that whenever we complain about one set of weather, and when we get to the one we're wanting, then we whine and complain about that one.
Yeah, it's true. It's human nature.
Yeah, it's just the way we are. Crazy bunch of fools. Coming to the Rock Box on September 22nd. Performing Operation Mindcrime back in San Antonio. It's the voice behind it all, Jeff Tate. Doing great this afternoon, my friend?
I'm doing great. Feeling good.
Good, 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 good. You know, the fans love you down here. And you've built up quite a reputation with Queensryche, and of course with your solo, being a solo artist. What is it you think keeps those fans coming back over and over and over again over these 30 plus years?
Well, I like to think it's like quality, quality, quality. Location, yeah. Location, location.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I just, every time I walk out on that stage and there's people in the seats, you know, I say a little prayer, thankfully that they're there. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And I'm humbled by it. You know, when I started this, the Operation Mindcrime 30-year anniversary tour, I thought that it was just going to be a short little tour of like a couple months, you know. But it's stretched out into 18 months, and 26 countries.
Jeez.
And the end of it, I thought that this particular run, September, October, was going to be the end of it. But now I've got dates in Australia.
Oh, my gosh.
The end of the year. So it's going to be the end of the year before this whole tour is wrapped up.
Wow.
Which I'm very thankful for. It's been an incredibly successful time, and I'm very thankful for everybody that has come out to the shows. And some of them have come out twice, you know, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
When was your last? I think how recently were you in San Antonio?
I'm gonna say 2 years ago.
Okay.
So the beginning of the Or nearly 2 years ago for the beginning of the 30-year anniversary tour, yeah.
Okay. So Operation Mindcrime, the album, and that's a great name for a band, by the way, too. So
it's catchy.
It's catchy, isn't it? Hey, it's a phenomenal album. And how does it feel to revisit and perform that album all the way through?
It's amazing. It absolutely is amazing. Every night. I'm loving it. You know, I never get tired of singing it. It's a wonderful record to perform, And as long as my band is tight and everybody's well rehearsed,
yes,
then it's a beautiful thing. But it is a very challenging record to play. And so it takes a good amount of expertise and skill level to do it, you know. And many, many musicians have tried to play this album and underestimated the material, you know. But the band I have that I'm touring with now is a crack team, and they are just on it. And they're a machine. It'll be for people who enjoy and recognize that kind of musicianship, I think they'll really, really enjoy the show.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I have my questions kind of in order here, but I'm going to play off of your answers. Whenever you do interviews, I just saw one recently. Everybody's asking, "Oh, hey, what is your favorite song to sing?" And it's kind of like, I like to go kind of a different direction.
Oh, they've been asking me that question for 30 years.
I know, but I'm gonna try this one on you here. What is the most challenging song for you to sing live, or is there even one?
Challenging.
It's kind of like, you know, I've got to get this right. If you kind of just off a little bit, you're going like, oh God, let's do this again or whatever. What is there anything that gives you any grief?
Well, there's some material, some songs. Recently I performed a song called I Dream in Infrared,
okay,
which is off the Rage for Order album.
Okay.
And I performed that song, and it's a tough one to sing. It's very high register singing for some of it, and it's long extended notes as well at the high register. And especially the ending is a top of the range killer note that you hold out and you have to sort of descend in a slow, they call it a retard.
Yep.
Retard to the end, and okay, it's very, very difficult.
Oh yeah. Holding that thing out like that would be crazy.
Yeah. And it's one of those songs that I've noticed that it's better dependent upon certain weather conditions.
Okay. All right. I can see that.
That may sound strange, but as a singer, like if you're in a hot, sweaty room, oh my God, it's great. It's like being in a sauna.
Oh yeah.
Your vocal cords are all lubricated and warmed up, and you're just singing. No, it's effortless.
Okay.
And then you get out onto like an outdoor venue, and you're out in the desert, or maybe there's a wind blowing on you from the front and you can't get away from that. It just dries you out.
Okay. Right?
And so it makes certain notes in your vocal range a lot more difficult to hit, you know.
Yes, I mean.
And then of course, then of course, I know this is kind of not appropriate anymore because of the no smoking laws around the country.
Right.
But there are certain states that still allow smoking in indoor venues.
Okay.
And especially in Europe, like Bulgaria, I was just recently there. Russia, I was just recently there, and oh, they're smoking up a storm, you know.
Gosh.
And singing, like playing drums, it's a not only a musical event, but it's also an athletic event as well. I mean, you're performing a physical thing, right?
Yes.
And I mean, you wouldn't ask an athlete to run a marathon in a smoky room.
Oh gosh, you know? No.
And then like criticize him for not having the best time, you know.
Exactly.
But that happens, you know, that happens.
Okay. So in regards to the songs going as far back, a lot of bands do it, and I think it's a great thing, but, do you tune down?
Half step. Half step tuning down.
Okay.
That's
that's cool. I mean, that's not like you're going to let's take it down from A to C or whatever. And it's like, it's just a half step, but that makes a big difference though.
Well, it's not so much for me as it is for my backup singers. Having them have to hit the notes that I hit. I mean, that's like asking somebody to, that's asking a lot. And night after night after night, there's not too many people that can do that, you know?
Yeah.
So what I did was I thought, well, I really need these people to sing well every night. So I'll just drop it down half step.
Yeah.
And that way it'll be an easier note for them to hit, and they can be consistent with it, which is important, right?
Right, exactly.
And it doesn't affect the music anyway. It just makes it a little easier for the people performing to perform well, and that's what you want. Is you want your musicians to play well.
Well, and you know, when people are singing along to your songs, and the last thing I think they want to do when they go to a concert or whatever, when their signature octave range or higher register words or whatever, they're going to want to sing it with you, and they're expecting it to go up there instead of down to a lower register, and they go like, "What the heck? That's not how that goes."
Yeah, well, it's not that drastic. A half step is absolutely barely noticeable. But I think it makes it easier for the audience to sing along. You know, they're not straining so hard, and they can actually make it to the end of the show with you.
Yeah, exactly. And they will be doing that. You've been to San Antonio before, and they will be singing along with your tunes.
Yeah, you know, San Antonio is a unique place in America. It's more similar to venues in Italy, Spain, in France, Greece. These are places where people sing along.
Yes.
I mean, no matter, they sing the guitar solos, they sing everything, right? And
yes,
San Antonio's like that too. And not other places in America. If you get up north and Midwest, it's a lot more conservative and people just don't do that, I don't know why, but San Antonio, man, I can just about forget all the lyrics in a song and just listen to people sing and be reminded about what the lyrics are. So I never need a teleprompter.
No, you got a safety net right there.
I got a safety net.
Hey, tell me about your incredible multinational band that you've got. You got them from everywhere, but they're just fantastic players. Tell me about them.
Yeah, well, I travel a lot, Schlepp, and I meet a lot of amazing people and players, and I've assembled a band of people that can really play well. They're solid, and they can play my music, which is a feat unto itself, because I've had a lot of very famous musicians that I won't name that have tried to play my songs and can't.
Yeah, it's pretty intricate stuff,
It's very intricate. It sounds easy, and that's what the mistake people make is like, "Oh yeah, I got this."
Yeah.
Then they try to play it and they can't because it's it's complex and weird and tricky and very idiosyncratic, I guess is a good word to say.
Yeah.
Like the arrangements don't follow a standard kind of rock and roll arrangement. So you have to really know the song. You can't just jam it out, right?
Well, yeah. Do you have different time signatures and stuff? I know.
Oh yeah.
It's coming through there too. So.
We've got multiple time signatures in a song. We've got multiple time signatures sometimes in some songs in multiple places in a song. We have dropped beats where, you'll go around four times this time, but on the next time you'll go three. Mm-hmm. And then the last one you do four, and then the second to last one you'll do two. So, you have to know the song, right?
Yes.
And there's pushes and accents and things like this that are endemic to the song itself, so those need to be there, and it all has to be performed tightly,
Yes.
So it's very challenging. But anyway, back to the players. So I've assembled a band of very great players. Scott Motten, longtime partner of mine, on guitar, is fantastic player and a great backup singer. In fact, he sang lead vocals on one of my songs.
Gosh.
On I think The Key, which was a solo album of mine, came out a few years ago.
Okay.
Fantastic player. He's from Canada. Kieran Robertson on guitar. He's from Glasgow, Scotland. Mm. Fantastic young player. Another really good singer. He's a lead singer on his own.
Okay.
Jack Ross is also from Scotland, the Highland area.
Wow.
And just an amazing, solid bass player. Let's see, who else have I got on this run? I have a new drummer that I'm taking out for the very first time. His name is Brendan Bell.
Okay.
He reminds me of a young Neil Peart.
Ooh, wow.
He's that kind of drummer, just he makes it all look so easy, it's amazing to watch him play. In fact, I shouldn't probably tell the story, but I'm going to tell it.
Go ahead. People want to hear. People want to hear the dirt, man.
I auditioned him personally, and it's just me and him sitting in a room and playing drums, okay. And he's got a playback going of the song, and I chose an incredibly difficult song, Queensryche song, for him to play.
Okay.
And I told him about it the day before. I said, tomorrow I'm going to come over and I'm going to listen to you play the song. Can you be ready? He goes, yeah, absolutely. I know all your music.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, I was thinking, he knows all my music. I love him.
Right.
And so I got there. He played through the song, not one mistake. He played it note for note.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, do you want me to play something else? I go, no, you got the job.
Ah, yeah. I like that. That's those are good little success stories there, and I bet they just grin from ear to ear.
Well, you know, the lesson of the story is, if you're going to get hired by somebody, a musician, for example, know their material.
Yes.
Know it inside out. In fact, spend some time, a week, 2 weeks, go and listen to all their music. At least get a rough idea of what it is. If you're a serious musician and you can write out the charts, chart out all the music, so mm-hmm. and put it in a notebook so you have it ready. So if I ask, hey, I really want to play this song, I Dream in Infrared, off the Rage 4, came out 30 years ago. Everybody know it? Well, he knows it.
Yes.
You know, right there. That's like a amazing plus for somebody.
I don't know why most
people don't do that. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer.
Well, you can tell the professional serious drummer from just the amateur. I got it all. You know, I know it. I mean, our drummer for our group, he'll come with 3 pages of charts for one song. It's like, okay, well, there you go. That's the way we'd probably be
teaching everybody else how to play it too.
You know everybody else's part. Exactly. A couple of things here. Let's see. How much growth and maturity level do you think you've noticed between your first solo and Sweet Oblivion, which is mighty fine, by the way?
Thank you. I don't know. I never really compared them. They're very different, you know.
Yeah.
Sweet Oblivion is a very metal album, with all the fast guitar leads and basically guitar rhythm, you know, playing 16th notes on everything.
Lots of double bass in there.
Lots of double bass. Yep. It's very metal. And my first solo album is not metal at all, you know, mm-hmm. absolutely not metal. And my second solo album, Kings and Thieves, is what I would call very rock.
Okay.
But yeah, they're apples and oranges, you know, very different. And it's sort of I think all three of those albums really sort of explain what I'm all about musically. That's kind of where I'm at. You know, I like pop music. I like experimental electronica. I like rock and I love metal, you know? So that's me.
Well, yeah, you've been around long enough to get the good, bad, and the ugly out there. And you've got your niche and you find out what you really are passionate about and stick with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, I guess, the name of the game, you know?
All right. So I'm going to switch gears here just for a second. I hear the mullet's coming back. Your thoughts?
Oh, I hope so.
God, I saw that. Everybody's talking about it and going like, oh, I'm going to pop some of my night pictures from the 80s from my high school year and see, because I'm there. I'll be there already. And my wife would say, I know you're not.
What year were you in high school?
I graduated in 81.
Oh, at 81. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, you probably know this, but it wasn't called the mullet when we had mullets.
Okay. What was it now?
It was only called a mullet by the later generations who made fun of it.
Okay.
They called it a mullet. But at the time when everybody wore it, it wasn't called that. It didn't even have a name.
It didn't even have a name. It was just the style.
It was just the style you wore, yeah.
Well, we created something out of this world. It's just like the LPs, they come back.
It's legendary, actually.
that's a good one for it. So which brings me to my next deal. Your stage persona, okay, over the years, you know, you had to change with the times, but you know, right now I see the vest, the mustache, goatee, the glasses. There's confidence written all over it. Okay. when I see you, yeah. But what is the look that you feel most comfortable with, even down to the fedora?
What look do I feel? Yeah, I mean,
is there a certain, like when you go out on stage, like for instance, you know, the hat or no hat, you know, it's like, how I feel for the day or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It really just depends on the situation, the weather and that kind of thing. Can you hold on 1 second?
Uh-huh.
Printer. Oh, it's right here. Yeah. And, so it depends on the weather, what I'm wearing at the time, what's clean and then, you know, yeah. Not in the laundry.
Right.
I honestly don't give it a lot of thought.
Okay. You just do it.
I just have an array of clothing I grab and choose for the tour. Was it this last tour? Oh, I've just been so many places lately. I just did a world tour with this band called Avantasia. We went to 24 countries. And then I've been doing shows on my own in Europe. And so I have like 2 suitcases of stuff that I have to carry around with me. Because Avantasia requires a little different clothing arrangement, you know, certain color scheme. I know this is so interesting, isn't it? But
yeah, it is. I mean, it's just not going up there and strumming on a guitar or hitting drums. There's a lot involved here.
Well, there can be, you know. I think probably at different times of my life, I was more focused on that. Well,
yeah.
Back when Queensryche was together, we did a real specialty show called the Queensryche Cabaret, which was really fun to play. And I had all these different costumes. Had a breakaway suit.
Oh man!
I had a giant hammer, props. I had like eight or nine different costume changes during that show, and that was really fun to do. But it required, you know, having a person to help you, you know, do the changes and get clothing changed, and it took a lot of planning out what was going to be going on while I was off the stage changing clothes. There had to be, you know, some sort of focus going on. But it was really a challenging, fun show. And I've done several shows like that over the years.
Excellent.
But as of late, with the Operation Mindcrime show, it doesn't really require any kind of costume changes or anything like that. It just requires getting to the show without, you know, sweating off everything that you have. Because it's right. some of the places in the buildings are really, really sweaty.
Yes, yeah. They definitely can be. Okay, I just got a couple more questions for you, and then I'll get you on your way. I want you to set the tabloid straight here, and I know you probably know where I'm going. Got 2 things here: Empire Tour 2020 and Queensryche reunion. What is up? What's fact? What's fiction?
Well, I don't know what the story is or what the tabloids are saying. I've been out of the loop.
Well, you know, they're always going to make it sound good for them so they can get you in there to read their articles. But, you know, is there plans of a Queensryche reunion?
Well, not that I can say.
Okay.
At this moment.
That's fine.
I think that would be something that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, and, I think it would be an interesting thing to do if everybody could get in the same room and actually talk to each other.
Yeah, and not throw darts or anything. So so and then the Empire Tour 2020, I guess that's a good affirmative.
Well, yeah, that's definitely happening.
Okay.
Yeah, and that has actual start date, which is February 23rd, I think it is.
Okay, they give you a little bit of break over the holidays, maybe. Before you start that?
No, not too much of a break. I don't like to slow down too much.
No,
you know,
you kind of get out of your groove.
Yeah, you get out of your groove, and I'm doing this September October run of the Western United States here, and then I go to Germany for my Insania wine release party, which we have every year, which has really turned into something quite spectacular.
Nice,
quite proud to say. That happens on the 26th, And then I'm over in Europe until I think February.
Okay. Okay. Tonight I'm doing a tribute show for the godfather of rock, Joe Anthony, from, you know, the old 99.5 Kiss days here in San Antonio. Did you ever meet Joe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, got, Joe was instrumental, okay, actually. And he was one of the, if not the first, one of the first few people to play Queensryche live on the air.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was in 1980, I'm going to say 82.
Okay.
I guess it is.
83, in somewhere fact, thereabouts. Yeah.
In fact, when he played it, we heard about it, of course. And, you know, everybody was very, we were all very excited about the fact that we got on the air in San Antonio, Texas, and wasn't that great and amazing. And so perhaps a year later, we got asked to tour with Quiet Riot,
okay,
on their Metal Health album tour. And we played San Antonio, Texas for the first time. And we walked out there in front of, I think there was like 10,000 people at the San Antonio Coliseum.
Mm.
And the crowd just went crazy because they were familiar with our music.
Good.
You know, they'd heard us. They'd been listening to us from Joe Anthony. And he'd been sort of blowing the trumpet in our favor, you know, for a year. So that's by the time we got there, you know, we got a wonderful reception. And it was very surprising and humbling, you know, that many people knew who we were. Because we were just starting out. This is our first tour.
So what was one of his favorite, and I probably want to play it tonight. What was one of his favorite songs, y'all's early days, to play the crap
Queen
out
of the Reich.
Okay. That's what,
that's the one he played. Yeah.
Man. Okay. Well, going in the thing for this evening. So, I was hoping I would get some kind of tidbit of information from you and hope y'all did meet. And that's fantastic. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Actually, he came up to me, at the show. And this was before we went on, and he was in the backstage area saying hi to everybody. He was quite a personality.
Yes.
You know, very, very confident, you know, very forthright. You know, hey, I'm Joe Anthony. How are you? Joe Anthony, you're the guy that's playing our song.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that song. I can't believe you could hit those notes. Can you sing that right now for me? Man, I belted it out.
Yeah. made his day.
Right there in the hallway.
Yeah. That is sweet. Well, I appreciate that, man. And I'm gonna put that on the show for tonight. Okay, merchandise available on the show coming up on the 22nd. I know shirts and stuff, but album wise and CDs, everything gonna be there?
No, I usually don't bring music to sell.
Okay. So just there's going to be like shirts.
Yeah, there'll be t-shirts and sweatshirts and probably bottles of wine and if it's allowed in that in Texas. I can't remember what the state laws.
Who needs a stinking CD when you got a bottle of wine? Right?
That's right.
Oh, man. Jeff, man, I appreciate it so much you talking with me this afternoon. This has been fun. I know, sometimes I get a little nervous when somebody of your stature comes on here, but, you know, I can play with the rest of them. And it's this was fun. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Can't wait to come back.
Well, we're looking.
Thanks for the interview. I really appreciate
it. Definitely. And we're looking forward to it. Hopefully I get a chance to meet you that evening.
Right on.
Take care. We're listening to Intelligent Conversation with Schlepp and Jeff Tate. We'll be right back with some more music right after this.